Hey there, just a quick heads up. We're not doctors and this isn't medical advice. We're just sharing what's worked for us. So as always, check with a healthcare professional before making any changes. All right, let's get into it.
Hello and welcome back. We are so happy you're here. Today is a very special episode. Amber and I, we are sister-in-laws, but you may not have known we have another sister-in-law. And that sister-in-law lives in Tulsa, and we are so honored and excited to have her on today to share her story. Not just any story, but a story of triumph and a miracle. All right, let's get to it.
Stop. We just like two words in and I'm about to cry. But thank you guys so much for having me on today. It's a pleasure. And look, all the sister-in-laws are all together.
Yes, we are. We are so together and united on this amazing story of triumph, Katie. I know that we want to jump into this story, but I had some great videos come in from your husband, my brother, this past weekend. And I mean, tell us about your weekend. It looked like you guys had a blast.
It was a weekend full of worship, actually, and it was quite amazing. So one of the things my husband and I do is that we regularly go to like worship services and those types of things. But we got to take our son to his first worship concert. And so that was amazing. We went to go see John Reddick and Kane. Oh. And little man went backstage, held their hands in prayer. Oh. But it was really cool and it was really special for like a multitude of reasons, but mostly just to like have Mason there in worship.
Yes.
With us, not only raising his own hands in prayer, but seeing grown men raise their hands in prayer. Like those things are like so important. And he loved it and he had a blast. So I look forward to taking him for more. So someone find one at 3 in the afternoon so that he doesn't fall asleep by 9:30, but whatever.
Hey, that is so fun. And I saw you post one of my favorite songs on, I think it was one of the socials, either Facebook stories or Instagram stories, but you posted about No Fear. And I've actually played song for Amber recently. Mm-hmm. And it is an amazing song. What does it mean to you? I mean, I know what it means to me, but like, what does it mean to you?
In December, Kyle and I, we were at another worship concert and John Reddick was playing. And it was the second time he had ever publicly sang No Fear. And so we had never heard it before. And we were like, man, that is a really cool song. And so in January of this year, we declared that song the song of our home and our house for this year, which we've never done before. But it really has been this year where we have just walked through it, knowing that literally the mighty hand of Jesus is fighting for us. Yes. Every single day. And so we played all the time, but it was just truly special to see my boys sing the song with us. And I don't know, it's too early in the morning to be that sappy, but I'll try.
Yeah.
In a little bit.
Yeah, I love that song. It's a very personal song for me. When I heard it the first time, I think Kyle actually sent it to me. I think it was right after you guys heard it in like December. And I had not heard it on the radio before. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that just like embodies like everything, like every challenge, every strife, every, you know, hurdle that we go through. Like there is no fear or condemnation when you have Christ Jesus in your life, right? Like there's nothing.
Not
there.
Over my family, yeah. Not over my future,
yes.
Not
Amen.
Over my life.
It's awesome.
God's over my life.
That's right. Sorry. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So you obviously, that's you ended your year last year with, you know, the song, and it became your mantra, your family's song. So,
oh, we had no idea, did we?
No, you did not. How he was going to use that song to bring, you know, really like a lot of light to his name.
Katie, let's get into a little bit more about your story
and not to obviously steal your thunder, but you're down over 50 pounds this year. There's a lot more to that story, but you've done it completely natural, no drugs, no surgery, and honestly, so much more than just weight loss. But I want to turn it over to you and give us a little insight into what happened. What changed last year?
It is impossible to talk about my weight loss without going back to the beginning where we received my miracle. So at the beginning of the year, my church enters into a 21-day fast. I had never done it before. And so I really felt the calling from God to do this for the first time ever. And so I entered into this journey with God with just clarity, or looking for clarity and looking for just a blanket of protection over my family as we entered into this new year. And so I just started this true 21-day fast. It was a Daniel fast. And God moved in miraculous ways, more than just one. The most obvious one, and it's hard to even talk about. Like, you're not supposed to tell people I fasted, because fasting is very quiet. But I have to talk about it because God has positioned me in such a way where people wonder, how did you lose 50 pounds? Yeah. And the truth is that it all started through fasting, and it all started through this 21 days of prayer and fasting that we entered into. And although it wasn't the prayer that I had put on my heart, it was one of the miracles that God gave us. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. I'm down 50 pounds. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I've received my miracle. And I now have to tell people that I fasted. So that's just kind of, that's my story in a very brief nutshell.
Katie, so in preparation for this, this episode, I had talked to a few people about just not going into detail about your story, but I was so excited about sharing your story. And a lot of people are probably wondering, what is the Daniel fast? Like, because I had that question. Can you kind of go into detail what that is?
So it's actually biblical. So let's start there. With the exception of the meat, it, obviously in the Bible, it says that we can eat meat and stuff. But the Daniel fast is incredibly clean food. Pretty much if it's from the dirt, you can eat it. You have to be really careful with, you know, it's no artificial flavors, no bad oils, a lot of fruit, a lot of vegetables, some whole grains, no potatoes. If it is a fruit or a vegetable, you can probably eat it. Okay. Extreme vegan is what I called it while I was on the fast. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, and I could be wrong, but you fasted like from morning until like mid-afternoon?
All day, 24/7. 24/7, 365. Started as 21 days. I extended it for a couple of days, ironically. Or I guess God's not really ironic, is he? But I did extend it a couple of days and slowly eased my body back into taking more food. And it was probably over 40 days before I had any meat other than like seafood.
Okay. Let me restate that question. So the fast wasn't like throughout the day, like you didn't fast, like you could eat something in the morning, correct? Or no?
Yeah. Okay. I could eat food. It's a little more than that. You have to like really listen to, I had to really listen to my spirit, and get to the point where food was only sustenance. Uh-huh. Food was not for pleasure.
Right.
That is the purpose of a long extended fast, is to put yourself in front of Jesus and deny your flesh what it wants so that your spirit can grow stronger than your flesh.
Mm. That's so powerful. That is so powerful. Was there a moment that you knew that, like, okay, I'm in it. I'm not quitting. Did you ever want to quit?
oh, I wanted to quit immediately. And then about 17 times the first week. Satan is alive and well.
Yeah.
When you start looking at doing something like a spiritual fast, you're doing it to rid yourself of any type of evil and unclean spirits that are around you. But you have to expect the things that are around you to get loud.
Yes.
And get feisty. They want you to fail. The odds were stacked against me when I first started. And for the first week, it was just chaos. And Satan was trying to stop God, and it didn't happen, but it was just this constant battle as my soul and my spirit was getting stronger and my flesh was getting weaker. It was just this battle for a minute until I got the discernment of the Holy Spirit that my flesh or my spirit was so much stronger than my flesh. And that was what started to change for me. And although I didn't enter into it to like want to lose weight, it just started falling off when that one little like principle of your spirit is stronger than your flesh started to like really resonate in my soul.
Yeah. And I know that obviously the spiritual component of, you know, spending time with God, what did that look like on a daily basis for you? Like, did you, you know, pull out your Bible? Did you listen to worship music? Like, how did you stay so connected through that process?
Force the function at the beginning, but by the end of it, it is just, spirit is everywhere here with you. But I forced the function at the beginning. So it was daily scripture in the mornings. It was worship with our church because our church did a simulcast every day during that 21 days. It was worship with them at dinner time, which became important. it was just always, it was prayer and petition and journaling.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
I know that you have some journal entries that you shared with us. Could you talk through a couple of those with us?
So every day we would be, it was like we would open up a Bible app, and there was a specific app that you go into and you can read different scriptures and you just reflect on them. And just kind of thinking about like what that means. And there was one particular day, and God's word's amazing, but I don't remember the scripture because I'm human, but there was this one particular day when it was walking through blessings, and I really started to like lean into like, okay, well, what do you mean by like blessings? And then I realized I stumbled I kind of started to think through the fact that my family specifically is very altruistic. When someone says they need prayer, we go into a prayer room. We really submit them to prayer. But what I was missing was I wasn't praying for my family's miracle. I wasn't praying for us. I wasn't praying for myself. And so there was one day where there was this one particular scripture that I really leaned into. And what God kind of revealed to me was that this is the year of your family. And there was something about a midwife in there. But it was like, this was the year that your family will receive the blessing. This is the year that your family will live in the overflow, and that you will live in the overflow, and that it's okay for your family who sits kind of in this midwife position. You know, they take and bless other people, where it's the year of the midwife's blessing. And for me, that one was really the foundation for the several days that followed.
So let's kind of transition on the physical component of it. And
yeah,
it's like, I know that this started, it was not necessarily, it didn't start out as a fast to accomplish any sort of weight loss. But one thing I found interesting, and I think that others will find interesting, if you would tell us a little bit about the fact, I know that you were approved for a weight loss surgery. It was pretty invasive. You decided against it, but how you're really able to, again, accomplish such a huge miracle with beginning a fast, and ultimately how you feel different
now versus when you started? I'd love to kind of hear a little bit about that physical journey.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been overweight for most of my life, and it's been a struggle for me for most of my life. And I'm still a bigger girl, but I'm down 50 pounds.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think I still have some more to lose, but it's not about the weight loss and the way that I look in the mirror. The way that I look in the mirror is a reflection of the way that my soul and my body feels on the inside. And for a real long time, I had tried every diet that you could do, every fad that you could do, whatever the case may be. I was eventually approved through my insurance for a weight loss surgery, like the most extensive weight loss surgery that you could have.
Where they take a big piece of you out, right?
No, it took my whole intestines. So basically they would attach, I think, my lower intestines to my stomach. So I'd lose one of the intestines. And I was totally approved for it, went through the nutritional class. And something about it to both Kyle and myself didn't feel right. And I remember the moment I paused and I was like, I feel like I might need my intestines.
Maybe just sit
on that. Yeah. And so we didn't go through with that. My physician was basically pushing pills on me at one point, and she was recommending that I take GLP-1s and all of those things. But I was like, dude, every time I go to the doctor right now, you're putting me on blood pressure medication. You're putting me on cortisol, like whatever it is I'm not on anymore. And then she's like, oh, you need to take the GLP-1 because can we be done with shots? Like, I'm kind of, yeah. So I ended up not doing that one either. And so I entered into this spiritual fast with you're exactly right, Amber. I didn't have the intention of losing weight. That was the blessing that God gave me through all of this, was that through the very clean eating, my metabolism reset. And then I took that momentum into the rest of the weight loss. But that's like my story. I've always been a little bit bigger. It's the way God made me. But he didn't make me the way that I was in 2024.
So how do you feel, like, different? Again, I know you've got a young child. You're busy, on the go all the time, working mom. How do you feel as far as different today physically versus, you know, how you did a year ago?
Amazing. And actually, we were talking about that this weekend because we went to two concerts. One of the concerts, I think Kyle and I probably walked like 2 miles. And I woke up the next day, I'm getting old. My knees hurt a little bit. But man, I couldn't imagine doing that with 50 extra pounds on my body. I have more energy. I have less brain fog. And all in all, I think I'm like way healthier. I'm off half the medications I was in 24 this year. So it's been cool.
Which is amazing. Yeah. I mean, think of all the less drugs that your body's taken, the more energy that you have, the more present you're going to be for your family. And all started with
and the longer I'm going to be here.
Yep. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
And accomplish all the great things that you have to accomplish, and you feel better doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel a lot better. So, shocker. Spoiler alert, anybody who's listening or watching this. When you actually eat clean food, you feel a lot better.
That's kind of what we're all about, right? Like, all three of us have had different health journeys and to get us to where we are. But the reality is that it comes down to going back to the way God intended for us to eat and the foods that he intended for us to eat. And, you know, just keeping it simple. You know, I think we don't have to overcomplicate
eating real food. Really comes down to that. Stop the edible poison that's out there. That's the overprocessed junk.
Yeah.
Or real food. To your point, Kitty, does it come from the dirt? Is it real actual food that's grown, or is it made in a plant somewhere? And it's just a bunch of
ingredients that you can't pronounce that are a list of like 40 ingredients.
Yeah. That I swear is slowly poisoning us. Yes. I really, I mean, I believe that with everything. It slowly poisons us.
I, I totally do too. There was one point in the fast early on where that poison started being blocked out of my body by God. It was actually really crazy story, but it was like right there on my armpit, right by one of my primary lymph nodes. And it just felt like hard. Okay. That night I was sitting there and I was praying to God, and it was a little bit of a healing prayer. It was a lot of bit of a healing prayer. And I woke up the next morning and there was this thing that felt like hard. And I was like, well, okay, I have an ingrown here. That's weird. Fast forward 2 days later, I'm in so much pain. I have to go to urgent care because it's like, I can't even really move my armpit. And it was my body. My body was reacting probably to the cleanliness. And this is where I really feel like the Holy Spirit was in my body. But there was like this random cyst that had formed, and a complete wall inside, a cellular wall that was around the cyst in my armpit, right underneath my lymph node. And I guarantee, Amber, it was poison. I guarantee it was the stuff I had been putting in my body before I went on this fast and God started cleaning it out. Mm-hmm. And the best and fastest and most efficient way for that to happen was to have an abscess removed, apparently. But that's insane to think that the things that we consume can do that to us. Absolutely. It's also equally as insane, but yet heavenly, that God can heal that.
Yes.
And that's what he does. I think it's, have you ever seen you guys familiar with Louis Giglio?
Yes.
And that video? The cells in your body that look like crosses.
Yes.
It's no accident that the glue that holds all of your DNA together literally looks like the cross that Jesus hung on.
Yeah. There's 23 chromosomes too. And I'm always looking for where God is in pretty much everything because he's everywhere. He's all everywhere. And so, yeah, there's 23 chromosomes, and I think of Psalms 23, and that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't know if you know that one, but it's a really good one. I won't go through the whole, it's pretty long, but it's a good one. And, there's definitely, he is purposeful. He is in plain sight, but so many people miss him because they're not looking.
Yeah. Or their paradigms are incorrect. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard, or there's this documentary called, The Genesis History. And it really does a fantastic job of breaking down the different paradigms that we see the world through. The paradigm of a religious and spiritual paradigm of like, this is the creator, this is God, this is Jesus, and this is his creation, versus the one that starts with, this is an atom, and the atom builds this, and builds this, and builds this. And so that particular like documentary did a really good job for me of understanding that science is science. Okay. But it's the paradigm that we see the context through, that individuals need to decide. So they need to have their discernment, whichever way that works. But God is holy. God made this, God made me, God made this DNA that is so complex, right? That it starts out with whatever. Thank you for the disclaimer. I know that comes at the beginning. It says we don't give medical advice, but like, there's like an A, a D, a G, whatever it is that the DNA works on, right? And that is one dimensional. And then you add stack on top of that, the other part of the matching DNA, you get that rope, and then you get the third dimension of your DNA, which creates that twisty loop, right? Okay. The fourth dimension that no one talks about in regular textbooks is God. Your genes are designed in such a way that, yes, they are wavy, right? And they do have this third dimension. But the fourth dimension is where your genes know how to respond and learn automatically. Someone tell me how that could ever happen from an individual, whatever cellular structure it is that the stacking perspective tells me it's impossible. God designed our bodies in such a way that that fourth dimension is where that healing comes in. It says, oh, I've seen that disease. I know what to do. And those genes turn on, activate it. Or I'm not really sure what that is, but I'm going to start here. And it learns that information and it stores it and retains it. That is not by accident, okay? That is not a Darwinian theory. That is Jesus Christ, yes. Okay? Like, that is the sole reason that science exists today. And so the Genesis history does a fantastic job of kind of saying that science is what science is, but it's how you view it through these paradigms that you need to start making sense of it all.
Right. And, it, you know, I always think that, you know, science proves Christianity. You know, I mean, it totally proves it. I mean, every single thing from the flood to like all of it. I mean, it's amazing to me how people like overlook the obvious that there is a creator and that creator is God and his son, Jesus Christ. And they're one and the same. And but people do all the time. So
they do.
It's
they try to explain it away by science, yet we continuously forget where that science came from.
Right. So, Katie, I know there's going to be people out there that, you know, they've contemplated starting. It's hard. It's definitely hard to take that first step of, okay, I know I need a change in my life. Maybe it's weight loss. Maybe it's something different. But what advice would you give them on if they're just don't have the courage to start? They need that little extra push. What kind of advice would you give anyone out there that may be contemplating or needing a change like this in their life, a miracle?
The Bible tells you to fast. I'm not making these things up. It literally tells you to fast. It tells you to submit yourself in front of God, to deny your flesh, and you have direct access. Like, this is not a game. If you can deny your flesh and raise your spirit, what happens is you have these crazy antennas that go up and God is more powerful and he does move. And that is exactly what it says biblically. So if you really want to make a change in your life, whatever that change would be, technically, according to the Bible, you start with a fast. That should be the first thing that you do. Whether you have the discernment to do that for 24 hours, 48 hours, or 21 days, or 40 days, or however that looks, you take that discernment, but you start there with the decision to deny your flesh what it wants, which is nutrients and sustenance. And then let God move. Talk to him. But for me, one of the things that was just different as someone who's always struggled with my weight loss is that, like, I can't cheat on a diet when it's gone. Okay. Like, I cannot tell you how many times Kyle was like, it's okay. You can have that cheese. I'm like, I can't have that cheese. Okay. This isn't about weight loss. And I know that God sees me. And so it's just, that would be my advice, is that if you don't feel like you're strong enough, you're not, none of us are anyway. No. So if you submit it to God and Jesus at the altar, get ready.
Yeah.
Because he's going to reveal something to you that you didn't even expect. And my story is not a story of, I'm going to enter in a 21-day fast and I'm going to lose 50 pounds. It was like, I should probably start the beginning of my year off in prayer this year and see how that rolls.
Yeah. And then there's this massive miracle that took place and it continues to take place for you. And, you know, I think something you said that I think is so powerful is that, you know, it is all about submission, right? It's submitting because we don't have that power. We don't have the power, the strength to do it, but we do with Christ in us. And so your struggle was food, right? Am I correct in saying that? Mm-hmm. Food was the power. It had power over you and you
didn't even realize it, but yeah.
Yeah. And then when you submitted it to God through prayer, he took it for you because he says he will. He says he will take it from us. Our burdens, his yoke is light. And so I think it's just such a beautiful testament of you submitting yourself before God and prayer and him taking that load and that power that was not from him, but from Satan, and relieving you from it and giving you that strength. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it was totally like a load was lifted. I mean, the first week plus, super hard, but once that load was lifted, it was a lot easier.
Yeah.
It really was, or a lot fuller. Maybe it was the spirit was, that's what it was. It was like my spirit broke my flesh. And all of a sudden, it didn't seem quite so hard. It was like, oh, okay. I mean, distinctly remember the end of day. Well, I guess it was like halfway through where I realized the end of day 21, it was going to be on a plane headed to California, actually. So I was laughing a little bit. I'm like, great. I have 2 hours more than everyone else in the church. And I fast because my clock has changed.
So I remember seeing pictures of you on, you know, your private Facebook group. And I remember just thinking, oh my gosh, you look amazing. And one thing I struggled with was how do I tell her that? Like, I don't want to sound like I'm a weirdo and texting you like, oh my gosh, you look amazing. And I think that's something that I think a lot of people struggle with. We know someone, we see that they've lost a significant amount of weight. They look amazing, but what do we say, or how do we say it in a way that is something that doesn't, I don't know, it's not off-putting or offensive. I think that for me, it was a worry. And I mean, again, you're my sister-in-law, so I felt comfortable texting you and saying just like, hey, I don't know how to say this, but I mean, your response was great to me. So I'm sure there's other people out there as well that hesitate because they don't know what to say and they don't want to sound, they don't want to be offensive.
What type of skinny girl problem is that? That's all I have to say. Like, no. You could tell me I look like I lost weight, and I'd be happy. Even if I hadn't lost weight, just say, you look really good. You look like you've lost some weight. I have no idea what happens in the skinny people community, but in the big girl community, like, we like to know if we've lost weight, for sure. And you're not the only person that is kind of, like, weird about that stuff, so we need to, like, I don't know. People need to, it's okay to say I've lost some weight. It's okay to say I look good.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. Because for a while there, you kind of wonder, like, does anybody see this?
Yeah.
I've lost like 20 pounds. Does anybody guys notice? I've lost 30 pounds. Does anybody notice? And I guess it wasn't until I was around 40, Amber was like, okay, my sister-in-law's really lost some weight. Maybe I should say the W word. Next time, just be like, you look like you've lost some weight. Because that's what I needed to hear to keep me going.
I love seeing these pictures. There's one that you have actually said before, and then there's an after. Can you kind of walk us through like those two pictures?
Yeah. So you guys were there in the before. That was probably probably the heaviest picture we have evidence of. I really stopped taking photos of myself for a couple of years, but that one was a family photo of which we had to take, of which was on my phone. So I saw all of the outtakes that I didn't share with the rest of the family. And that particular photo that you saw was in September of 24. And then I think the other photo that we shared too was this summer in 25 with my family as we were on our beach vacation in Florida. So it's just, that's a little less than a year.
Yeah.
That would be a little less than a year.
That's amazing. You look at the two pictures, you look so much more like, you know, just happy and healthy. And I mean, not just physically, but you can see it in your eyes. You can see it in your picture.
It's my spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. My spirit. I mean, God's alive and well in our home. And as for me and my home, we will serve the Lord, but it has just been taking the opportunity to do this at the beginning of our year is what I hope, if you guys are in for it, might be an extended family tradition where we all do this together. But what happened to me this year was just a miracle, but it changed my life for the better in so many ways that are not just my health. And one of those ways was that we one day God really was like, hey, Katie, which, you know, he kept kind of pushing me about discernment and what fullness and fulfillment looked like in our lives and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fullness and fulfillment? Like, that's kind of hard to talk about when I'm not really eating food right now. But I guess we could talk about what that might look like. And so it was about the fullness and being full in Christ. And I was like, all right, cool. I can look at that. And it was really about what does that vision look like for you? And so when I leaned into that vision with Christ, it was a table full of laughter. That laughter was not just my nuclear family of me, myself, my husband, my son. There was more laughter than that. And that was unfamiliar laughter. I didn't know what that meant. And so I leaned into it even more, trying to be like, okay, I can play God with you too, with this vision. And basically, I couldn't see faces, but I knew that the laughter was not just us. And then God gave me the number 7, which meant completeness. We followed that vision that I had for several weeks after the fest was even over. And now I can tell you that what he was really placing on our hearts was that our calling, our family's calling, our kingdom work was to build an unconventional family. And in August, our family was certified officially with the state of Oklahoma to become a foster home. So we will be bringing in children and families that need a soft place to land for a minute. And that was one of the biggest things that like was unexpected, in addition to the weight loss that happened during those 21 days and post that. But the spiritness of our family was multiplied in a way that only Christ can do. When we started the fast out, when I started this fast out at the beginning of the year.
That's so amazing, Katie. I mean, it doesn't surprise me about God at all. It doesn't. Like your testimony, your journey, everything about your story is an amazing miracle, but it doesn't surprise me because that's the God we serve. We just have to be willing to submit. And you obviously did that, and your life is forever changed. And now you get to share your story, your testimony with the world. And that is such a powerful testament of the God we serve. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your testimony, and all the treasures that everyone that's listening is getting to hear. And we're so grateful. We love you. Love you, Katie.
Well, I love you too. Do you mind if I pray for you?
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to sit here with both of my sister-in-laws. And I just really pray a blessing of provision, a blessing of protection for them and their new business venture. May it just be so fruitful that there is just no denying that you were in the middle of everything. May both of them enter a season of overflow this year as they continue to follow you. And I'm so thankful to be surrounded by these women in my life. And I just ask abundant blessings, blessings upon blessings for them and for our family. And I ask all these things in the mighty, majestic, and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, the name catches you, but the truth keeps you.
Thanks for joining.
Thanks for joining.